last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, all over the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to answer some doubts or misconceptions about the concept of Mahdaviyya or Mahdism, the last savior, which exists in almost all Abrahamic religions. The concept of expecting a savior to come. In this version, we are trying to discuss about the concept itself, the roots of this concept. Where are they rooted from? And this is what we are going to discuss and ask the questions from the respected guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi from Qom Seminary Schools. Sheikh Murtada, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam and thank you for having me. I was born in 1981 and I joined the Hausa Seminary of Qom in 1994, so it's about 25 years that I'm studying the Hausa Seminary of Qom. And beside fiqh and usul, or jurisprudence and the principles of jurisprudence, I have studied logic, Arabic literature and grammar, Islamic philosophy, and more importantly, Islamic theology. I also have my BA in Islamic theology from Imam Khomeini Institute for Education and Research in Qom. And then I continued my education on monotheistic religions. I mean, I had my MA in this field from the University of Religions and Islamic Denominations. And I have my PhD in Shia theology from University of Tehran. My PhD was about an analysis of the viewpoint of one of the false claimants with regards to the knowledge of the Imam.
Thanks for accepting the invitation. The question of the day that we want to focus and talk about is concerning tawqi'at, or the letters that were sent to the Imam of the age through the deputies of Imam. The kind of doubt or, let's say, misconception that has focused on this issue of the letters is going to change the entity and essence of these letters to something exclusively monetary and financial. First of all, I'd like you to shed some light on the concept of tawqi' and what was the root of this word and how this came to happen. I mean, what happened that people faced to write the letters to the Imam or to the deputies of Imam? And is there any history or story behind it? And then what were the topics of these letters and tawqi'at, and were they exclusively monetary and financial, or there were some other subjects or topics which were asked from the holy presence of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam?
The word tawqi'a in the hadith literature of the Shia especially refers to the letters issued and sent by the Imams, not only Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, but all the Imams. But it is more especially about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam because of the number of the tawqi'at that we have received from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So tawqi' refers to the letter written by the Imam, not to the letter that is sent by the people. Yes, maybe some people send a letter and on the same page Imam answers the question, for example. So from that dimension, it can be called a tawqi'. According to some scholars, the first time the word tawqi' was used was at the time of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. We know that especially after Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and also toward the end of life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the Imams were under high pressure and control by the Abbasid caliphs. So instead of talking to the people directly, in many cases they needed to write letters to their companions or answer the letters of the people. That is why we have the concept of tawqi' from Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam onwards. But more especially about Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, because of the fact that for 69 years he was in the minor occultation. And one of the best ways for the Shia to have access to Imam was to write letters to Imam and give it to the deputies, the four deputies. And then Imam would answer the question through answering the letters. It's been mentioned that the handwriting of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam was known to many people. According to scholars, Imam had a special kind of seal, and he would seal the letters so that people come to know that this is the letter of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, not another one.
How could people distinguish that this seal was put by Imam himself or the deputies?
What is understood from the narrations is that maybe for the first time the Shia knew what is the nature of the seal of Imam. So they knew what is all about for the first time. So from that time onwards, whenever they saw the handwriting of the Imam and the seal of the Imam, they were made sure that this is the letter sent by the Imam. And of course, they also believed in the four deputies of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam.
And all the handwritings in all the letters and these tawqi'at within the time of four deputies were the same.
Were the same, exactly. Now, the question is that, I mean, the doubt raised by one of the Wahhabi scholars is that, as we mentioned previously, he wants to prove that there was no Mahdi at all. Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam had no child. It was the deputies of the Imam who brought about the concept of Mahdism and the birth of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam and his occultation, so that they could gather and collect the properties and wealth of the people. And he says that one of the reasons is that when you refer to the tawqi'at of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, according to the Shia and also other literature attributed to the four deputies, the common word in these letters and literature is money, property, and wealth, which tell you that it was all about financial issues and they were looking after worldly benefits, so that they forged the concept of Mahdawiya and Ghiba and occultation.
To change it to something only materialistic.
Exactly. But the point is that, alhamdulillah, we have many of these tawqi'at available nowadays, and most surely this Wahhabi scholar, maybe he has seen the same tawqi'at, if he has seen any. But when we refer to them, we see that there are some points to be taken into consideration. First of all, some of them, they include a kind of miracle, a karama for Imam, because Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, in some of these tawqi'at, he gives the deputies and the people some news that they did not know about. And because of that, some scholars believe that tawqi'at in and of itself is a proof for the imamate of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. But about the content, those tawqi'at which talk about different issues, alhamdulillah, the scholars, I mean, the tawqi'at that are available, they have analyzed the contents of the tawqi'at. Three-fourths of tawqi'at are about the following issues: theological discussions, discussions on jurisprudence, answering the questions of the Shia and guiding them. So in three-fourths of the tawqi'at of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, there is no issue and discussion on financial issues. So when this issue is discussed only in one-fourth of the tawqi'at, you cannot come to this conclusion that this is the common word used in the tawqi'at. Only in 1/4 of these Torahs, the discussion is about baby chum, zakat, and so on and so forth. So we cannot conclude that this is the common word used in the Torahs.
Sheikh, one question that might come to the minds of the listeners of this show is that, so those people who started writing to Imam and with the mediation of the deputies of the Imam, so they were deprived of the Imam in the time of occultation, minor occultation, of course. But so we are in the major occultation of Imam, and we are more in need of these contacts with Imam. So what's the problem with us that we are also deprived from these sort of letters and this sort of contacts that we need to be in touch with the presence and with the help of Imam? So what is the difference of the people of that time and the people of this time?
Wherever you be, I'll be with you, 'cause you're the one my heart is to need you.
Your question refers to the philosophy of major occultation. So, if you want to generalize this question, the question is that why do we have major occultation at all? And during which we have no access neither to the Imam nor to his deputies. Even we do not have people who can act as, mediation between us and Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Forget about letters. I mean, I wish we had some people who could say that we have access to Imam, you can ask us your question, we go to the Imam and come back and answer your questions. Mm-hmm. So the question is about the philosophy of major occultation. And you know that's a long discussion, but to cut the story short, we know that minor occultation was only a short period to make the Shia prepared for the major occultation. Before that, Shia did not have this concept. I mean, at the time of the previous Imams, occultation per se did not happen. Mm-hmm. So they were not ready for the major occultation without a kind of minor occultation. So through minor occultation, Shia gradually are prepared to have no access to the Imam. Of course, to some extent, from the time of Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, they are treating the Shia to be prepared for the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. But the first time that Imam goes to an occultation is at the time of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Now the question is that why major occultation and minor occultation? There are different answers. Like, it was about the life of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, which was in danger. Like the fact that people were not ready to accept all those teachings from the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, and they needed some time, some centuries to come to this conclusion that all the other schools, all the isms available in the world, they
have nothing to say.
Have nothing to say. They cannot bring about justice. And finally, they come to this conclusion that they need a divine leader and so on and so forth.
So you mean implicitly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to feel really the lack of Imam?
Exactly.
For our
this is at least one of the philosophies of the major occultation. So because of that, we have no access to any deputy, we have no access to any Tariqat. This is the philosophy of major occultation. Of course, there are benefits of the Imam, we have discussed that. But the point is that, as you mentioned, people need to feel that at the end of the day, after all these schools of thought coming into the scene and trying to show that they can save the humankind, people gradually, hopefully, they see that none of them were practical. And we hope that in early future, people come to this understanding. Many of them have come already.
Inshallah.
That the only person who can save them is a divine leader. And the second answer to this Wahhabi scholar is that, as I mentioned, only 1/4 of the Tariqat are about financial issues.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't think that in all these letters, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam or his deputies are encouraging people that you need to come and pay the money, and they threaten the people if they do not pay khums and zakat, and so on and so forth. We see that in some of these tariqat, the issue is exactly different. For example, Imam says that Imam orders his deputies that you should not accept these properties from these people. For any reason, I mean, even they are, I mean, forbidden properties or they do not need to pay any property. This has been mentioned in Kamaluddin by Sheikh As-Sadur, page 486. And also, in some cases, Imam even mentions that you need to return these properties to those people who have sent. Kamaluddin, page, again, 486. And in some cases, Imam mentions exactly that this is the amount that they need to send, not more.
Very true.
So you see that we should not think that even in that one-fourth, Imam is always encouraging the people to bring more properties and wealth. Even in some cases, it's vice versa. Imam is asking the deputies to return those money back to the people.
Very beautiful. Many thanks, Sheikh Murtada Karami from Qom Seminary Schools on the issue of Tuqiyat and the letters of the Imam of the Age, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, at the time of minor occultation. We had a good discussion on this issue and we learned that the letters or Tuqiyat were not necessarily financial and monetary. Rather, they were in different aspects and they were representing people's idea in different problems and issues of the society. Inshallah, in our next session, we shall touch upon some other questions with regard to the minor occultation and the doubts and misconception that target that period of time in the school of Ahlul Bayt. Many thanks for staying tuned, dear brothers and sisters, and I'd like to invite you to in our upcoming session. I'll live in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. O Allah, protect your representative, Al-Hujjah bin al-Hasan, Imam al-Mahdi, and send salutation upon him and his ancestors, now as well as all the times. Be his guardian, protector, guide and assistance. Help him in his path and be watchful for him till you let him rule over the earth willingly and cause him to live in it for a long time.
حتى تسكنه